Hi everyone, just me popping in here to say we had a little problem with Helen's audio source whilst we were recording this episode, and unfortunately it recorded through her webcam mic. I've done my best to make it sound all right and not be too crackly, but please forgive us, and I hope you enjoy the episode anyway because I think it really is a cracker.
Welcome to Role Plus Heart. I'm Sarah Keep, and I'm joined, as always, by...
Bex Watson, playing Erin Doyle.
Jen Blundell, playing Molly Wrigley.
And Helen Gaffney, playing Priscilla Remington-Smythe.
When last we saw our trio of bike-riding kids, Priscilla and Molly were able to use the intricacies of her mansion home to escape her suspiciously attentive and in-unison talking parents. After reconvening with Erin in town, they noticed the missing Safeway butcher Kevin Mangan just loading his car up with cheese, which was suspicious. But because it's the summer holidays, they decided the best place to hide out would be the school, with the added bonus of providing them with equipment to experiment on the worm specimen with. Surprisingly, it was Priscilla that found out that the worms have an aversion to water, and so they loaded themselves up with water bottles, guns, and balloons, and set out to find a worm host. On the way, though, they noticed Kevin again, only this time meeting up with Priscilla's parents and carting the great quantities of cheese into the park and down a dell into a dark and mysterious grotto. We return now to a few weeks ago, and I'm going to ask my players to remove their headphones because this information isn't for them.
Oh!
It's just for you, the listeners at home.
Sneaky snakes. Okay, I'm going to mute it. I'm going to turn my...
Okay, are you going to wave when we come back, when we need to come
yeah,
back?
Yeah, I'll give you one of
what
these.
Okay. My lip reading's incredible.
Well then, look forward to it.
Maybe I'll hide Sarah's video. Oh no, that possible.
Then how will you know to come back?
Oh God, yeah, that's true. Idiot. Okay.
It's late at night, in the early days of the heat wave. And June Peacock is running through the park alone. She's just gone into a fight, which isn't unusual for her, but her choice of combatant was ill-advised, and the numbers were not in her favour. As she hears the sound of voices draw ever closer, June slides down the embankment of the park's central dell and spots the closed-off grotto. Vaulting the fence, she rips off enough of the boards to squeeze through and hide without being too conspicuous. She quiets her breathing and waits as the sound of the voices get closer and closer and closer, before thankfully getting further away. She breathes a sigh of relief and sits in the silence, wanting to be fully sure her pursuers are gone. But then she notices a faint red light emanating from further within the stale, dry cave. As she approaches, she finds a crack in the wall where the red light is coming from, no bigger than a hand length and a couple of centimeters in width. But it's odd. The crack doesn't seem to be in the wall itself, but somehow on top of the rock. As she tries to wrap her head around this bizarre impossibility, something begins to emerge from the glowing cleft, a small purple worm. Curious and not afraid of weird animals, June picks it up and holds it close to her face to get a better look in the darkened light. And that's the last thing she remembers, because from then on out, June was no longer in the pilot seat. Days go by as the worm matriarch begins to become well-versed with the new world it finds itself on, trawling June's mind for all information of life in Barnesfield. Its nose life here is not ideal, what with the constant rainfall, but if it acts quickly enough, it can increase its reach and numbers before that becomes too big of an impediment. It figures out the best sustenance for its children is cheese, and how fortunate they ended up in Barnesfield, home of the Robshire cheese. It gets a hold of as many chuckles as possible and begins creating more worms. But June is a teenage girl and her finances are limited, so how should it go about getting hold of more? One of the next targets should be a cheesemonger. Perhaps June's schoolmate, Erin Doyle. It's now the night of the cheese derby. Some town folks have been infected along the way, June's parents, the local snooper champion Marcus Campbell. But unfortunately, plans to infect Erin haven't quite gone to plan, and now a police officer, Officer Armstrong, is taking June to one side and asking to see what's in her bag. And she's happy to show him. With each new acquisition, the worm's knowledge of the town expands, and the plans shift. At a cordon outside their home, Armstrong infects Priscilla's parents, another Safeway employee is chosen, the worm's reach grows ever bigger. But its victory is not a foregone conclusion. I wouldn't say it underestimated our trio of bike riding kids. In fact, it's taken many steps to try and get them under control. But knowing these kids like I do, I think we're in for one hell of a fight.
Sarah, did you notice we were doing horrifying sexual things while you were
Yeah,
doing
I tried not to pay any attention to them because I had to keep going with my huge monologue.
So many disgusting things.
I just saw frantic movements, and so I thought it's best if I just look at the screen and not...
No, definitely for the best.
We were being deeply mature.
Mm. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
At all times, so mature. Most mature people I've ever met.
And so now we rejoin our trio of bike riding kids as they sit upon the top embankment of the Dell.
This is so exciting.
I can't believe you've done this.
Yeah.
Look at Sarah using complex narrative devices.
I know.
Like taking headphones off.
Making us take our headphones off.
I just felt there was information the audience should know about the narrative.
This is fun because editing it, I'm going to hear it first.
That's true.
I'm excited.
Aww.
And then you two all get to hear it once.
And then the world.
Edited it in 2023.
Okay. I don't think we can take our bikes into the grotto. So load yourself up.
I'll just bring my basket.
Just carrying a bike basket.
Mm-hmm. Can I out of my bag, I will pull my apron. My cheese counter apron, and I will put it on and fill the pocket.
Nice. Uh-huh. Wise.
So that I've got, you know, options.
Why aren't any of us wearing a bum bag?
But that is a
very
good
90s.
Question.
Very 90s.
You say very 90s. I have two of them hanging over there 90s. And I wear them. I'm not sorry about it.
That was up to 94, I think, at latest in the UK.
That would make sense because like, I probably had one.
Past 94, not so much.
I probably had one in the late 90s and I was never on trends.
Late 90s, no one had bum bags, I recall.
Wow.
Okay.
Like 97, maybe, if you were really not being fashionable.
Yep, thanks, Helen.
Like Jen. Yeah, so I'm gonna fill my apron pocket with water balloons and then just bring two bottles of water to squeeze.
Yep. Could we have maybe stabbed the top of them so that you can, like, spray them?
Smart. And then I will help these guys attach baskets and... bags and bandoliers and whatever else we happen to have.
Definitely got the super soaker out and primed. Could I get away with having two of those?
I thought you would give one
to
somebody
else. Yeah, that's what
else.
I mean. Can someone else
have
one?
Oh, yeah, great. I thought for a second you meant you were going to dual wield.
Well, no, because you need to...
Super soakers.
You need to pump up the super soaker.
Yeah, you've got to pump that.
Yeah, you need to pump.
Like this.
What was that gesture again, Bex?
Yeah, it was actually like that, to be fair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That one was just
Yeah, to be fair, that one wasn't
soaker.
Rude. That one was just... That's reality. This, on the other hand...
So glad no one can see what happens on screen when we record this podcast.
Absolute filth, Jen. Absolute filth.
Come on, Helen, as if you didn't join in as soon as you saw her doing it.
It's like, I can't not do that. Like, that has to be something I'm doing now.
Okay. Yeah, let's sneak in as quietly as we can, because maybe they'll be talking and we might hear what their plans are or whether this is all of them. And then if things go wrong, if anyone notices us or I do the signal, which is leaping up and throwing water balloons at someone, then we just go all out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we ice these fools.
We water these fools.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Before you... move down the embankment, you see a procession of people coming back out of the grotto heading towards the cars again. They're probably to collect more cheese, which gives you a small window of time to get into the grotto while there are less people in there.
Is it bad that in my head they're singing, O-E-O, more brie,
O-E-O,
more brie. That's all I'm getting.
The greater good.
The brie procession heads back up the dell and you know you have an amount of time.
Go, go, go.
We're off it.
You push forward into the grotto. The grotto has a small section of cave at first before opening up into a larger area. You see in that larger area, there are still a few people about moving the cheese around, but you also see in the center, June Peacock. She seems to be moving and arranging them into some form of order, but to an outside observer, you can't discern what that is. But after a few moments of arrangement, she grabs a particular wheel and holds it up to her mouth before retching a few times. On the third or fourth retch, you see iridescent purple lava fall from her mouth and land on the cheese. They wiggle around for a few moments before burrowing deep into the cheese.
That's so gross.
That's disgusting.
June places the wheel back down before walking to the other side of the cave, and she begins to dig at another wheel. And as the exterior crumbles away, four or so fully grown worms tumble out.
No, don't like it. Don't like it at all.
Hate it very much. Erin does have to kind of put a hand over her mouth to avoid just and giving their position away.
Priscilla does a little sick in her mouth, that's but she disgusting. Manages to swallow it.
Is there anywhere we think we might be able to hide whilst everyone else comes back in?
There's so much cheese in here. It is stacked in huge piles. You think you could hide behind one, but I will need you to make a successful flight roll, challenge rating 8.
Oh, no.
You've got a really low flight.
And I've got a flight of D4.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, you could explode twice.
That's true.
I do have 5 adversity tokens.
Okay. Oh, okay.
You could just roll a 3 and be fine.
What was the challenge rating again?
Uh-oh, I don't think it matters.
8.
Uh-oh. Okay, I got a 11 plus 1, so it's 12.
So Priscilla ducks in unseen. You know no one knows Priscilla's here. How about Molly?
Molly rolled a 1.
Okay.
Erin also rolled a 1.
Oh, fucking hell. Guys, come on.
You just kill
her. Do we both try and run for the same one and smack into each other?
Yeah, you both trip over each other's feet and go headfirst into stacks of cheese.
Is it soft cheese at least?
Toppling them to the floor. You think that giving away your position and falling over would have been the worst thing, but as you try to get yourself to your feet, you realise that amongst the crumbled wheels are a collection of worms. Mm. And June Peacock turns to you and goes, "You've made our job so much easier by coming here."
Yeah? Eat this. And I'm just gonna lob a water balloon at her face.
make a fight roll, challenge rating 5.
6.
Nice.
You throw the balloon, it is on target, and you see a look of pure panic flash across June's eyes, and somebody you do not recognize jumps in front of it like a bodyguard trying to protect a president. That gives you an idea of the hierarchy that's going on here. And as the water balloon explodes onto this person's shirt, you see him fall to the ground and scream in pain like you've never heard before. He writhes around, clawing at the parts of his shirt that are soaking in an attempt to remove them before collapsing motionless.
Oh God, are we killing these people?
Oh, jeez.
You're maybe not killing the people, but you're maybe sending pain signals to the things controlling these people.
Am I in a better position to lob something at June than they are without her noticing?
Yes, if you want to try and maneuver further around the cave while June is distracted.
I'm in the meantime, I guess I'm right next to Erin, so I would start off with the super soaker, right?
I'm going to need... Erin got the balloon off. But really, first, I should have made you do a flight roll to see if you can maneuver away from the worms on the floor.
That's fair.
I think Molly is closer to the worms because Erin just sort of fell on top of you.
Yeah, she's smaller. She probably went further as they clacked into each other.
Yeah, it's not hard. It's a challenge rating 4.
I've only got a D6. Oh, that's a 5, 6, actually.
You squirm away, kicking these worms, and a spray of cheese and worm flies into the air and scatters across the cave.
Do I see Priscilla? Do I notice her trying to...
You've noticed that she's not been seen yet. you notice that she is not with you, and that June's attention seems to be focused on you and Molly.
I'm gonna try and push Molly behind me a bit, away from the worms and from June. And just like look at the guy on the floor and then back up at June, say, what is this that I've made so much easier than what are you even doing?
We just want you to join us.
Who's us, June?
Us, the collective here. We are all one. And you hear the same words, we are all one, coming from the mouth of the grotto as the procession of cheesebringers returns.
We are one.
Priscilla, if you would like to make your roll now.
Okay, what am I rolling?
You are making a fight roll, challenge rating 8.
I'm fucked.
Not if I have anything to do with it.
What are you fighting with? What dice?
A d4. Come on, four. Okay, I rolled a 2.
You let loose the water balloon and it goes clear over June's head and slams on a wall opposite her. And as she turns back to the mouth of the cave, as if figuring out that June is not the best person to approach you with, Priscilla. And so your parents step forward.
No. Oh, God.
And they go, Priscilla, my love, we're very disappointed in you. We gave you what you wanted and you threw it back in our faces. You're so incredibly ungrateful. But I guess we are to blame for that part of you. It's not too late, though. Turn on your friends and join us.
You didn't give me what you want, what I wanted. I wanted my actual parents to love me. You're just worms.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, we figured you may be smarter than that, child, which is why we probed your parents' memories and came up with a plan B. And as you turn, you see a figure walking towards you from the back of the grotto. Since you didn't want to go for a McDonald's, we thought we'd bring the McDonald's to you.
Oh no!
And walking towards you is the clown prince of fast food himself, Ronald McDonald.
That's horrifying.
I wish everyone listening could have seen everyone's faces at their moment of realization. Oh boy.
That's God. No bueno. I'm just gonna say that now.
Oh jeez. I was like,
No.
The scariest clown as well, let's be real. I think Priscilla's just gonna kind of crumble to her knees, honestly.
Yes. Make me a grit roll challenge rating 10.
Okay.
Because you are facing your worst fear.
Okay, so I rolled a 6.
You do crumble. Yeah. You do crumble to the ground.
Aww.
But Erin and Molly, you see this happening.
Priscilla! Erin's gonna kind of abruptly go full feral. She's like
manticore.
I turn into a manticore and get all my tits out.
6 tits.
Where before there has kind of been bewildered fear and like a little bit of kind of indignation that there are people doing this here and she doesn't understand, it all just kind of transmutes into pure rage, and she is just going to straight up lunge for this clown. Like water balloon in hand. Not sure if he's a worm or he's just an underpaid McDonald's employee who's taken the gig. And she wants to just kind of like take him out at the waist whilst kind of shrieking, no, because I promise no clown would ever approach her and I keep my promises, and just jam it, a water balloon into his face.
Give me a fight roll challenge rating 5, because I think with your feral, you are more than capable.
I get a plus 3 when defending a friend.
Nice.
Because I'm protective.
Handy.
Which I'm very glad of, because I rolled a 1, I have a plus one for two, and I get a plus three for defending my friends, which is a five.
Oh,
right.
So you, Andy. Priscilla, as you crumble and this clown gets down near you, he's like, don't you want to see me, Priscilla? Suddenly knocked backwards, and you just hear a guttural scream of anger from Erin as she knocks this clown to the ground, grabs a water bottle, holds it over his head, and just squirts it directly into his face. His white and red makeup goes running, and he screams just like the man before. And you're not sure, Priscilla, if it's more satisfying to see the clown screaming or if it's worse, but it's writhing around underneath Erin, screaming his head off and pulling at his own face.
I throw up on the floor.
But Erin, you feel a hand.
All the Haribo.
Erin, you feel a hand on your shoulder, and you are pulled off
kicking
of the
clown and screaming
by the local weather woman, whose
bitch
name is Ephemeral Jones.
No, you can't make Ephemeral Jones a bad person, Zara.
She can and she will.
She's really hot, though.
She pulls you back and says, do you know what's truly sad, Erin Doyle? We have searched through this vessel's memories for any information we could use against you, and we found none.
Oh.
She doesn't know anything about you. She doesn't know you exist, which means your dad never talks about you.
Ouch.
Brutal.
Very brutal.
Jeez. Make it personal, yeah? Worms. Oh, bitchy little worms, aren't they? Catty little worms.
Can Priscilla, seeing this and full crying, attempt to throw a water bottle at the back of the weather woman's head?
Yes, it's going to be more difficult because of the state you're in. Yeah, your grit has been dissolved and you've just thrown up. So it's a challenge rating fight 12. To get
you're gonna have to triple
bang
explode
on the back of
to hit yep. that. Okay, well, you know, rack up those adversity tokens whilst you can.
I've got adversity tokens though already, so yeah. I might be able to do a lucky roll if I'm feeling sneaky. Okay, that is a four.
Oh,
oh, we're off to a good okay. start.
It's a good start. I could re-roll this again if I need to do if I'm lucky. Okay, no, that's a one. I'm gonna re-roll using
Great.
Lucky. So let me delete two adversity tokens. That's how many, right? Come on, a four. Yep, that's a four. That is a four. Fuck. Okay, so I just need one more. I need one more, right?
Yep.
This is so tense.
Come on,
roll
on,
a four.
Fuck.
Roll another four.
Insert incredibly crackly, loud, and enthusiastic audio of Helen saying, I rolled a four here.
You did? Yay!
Yeah!
Roll again. That's a triple explosion.
Oh my god. Okay, yeah, so I throw a water balloon.
Roll one more time for your third explosion just to
that's a one.
Okay.
Well, okay. Still, a 13. You hear these awful words being said by the local weather woman, and there's something about it. The thought of the way that Erin's dad treats her makes you think about your own parents, and the fear you felt from the clown and the things that your worm parents just said to you turns into anger, and you grab a water balloon from your pouch and just fling it with incredible accuracy at the back of Ephemeral Jones's head, and she stands stock still in front of Erin before just screaming in her face and then collapsing to the ground.
Erin just like, yeah, well, at least I'm not second choice. And it's just going to kind of back away from stuff. I'm sure they're everywhere. Kind of glance over, because Molly and Priscilla are on different sides of me, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Oof, that's tough. Do either of them look like they're immediately in danger from an approaching...
Molly does seem like she has people heading towards her, a teacher.
Okay, I'm going to start making my way towards Molly then.
Can I use my super soaker now? Can I recklessly spray it at whoever's coming at me? She's not had, to be honest, she's not had much practice.
Shooting from
really,
the hip.
Yeah.
It's a challenge rating fight five.
Okay.
The higher you score, the more incidental people you're going to hit with the super soaker.
Ooh, that's a good shout.
5, you say, and I've got a d8, so.
Yep.
What's that? Oh, fuck off. That's another 1. Oh. I don't have enough adversity tokens.
You pull the trigger on your super soaker and realize that you fully forgot to pump it up.
Oh.
And no. So a little trickle of water worst. Just shoots the out worst. The end and drops onto the cave floor.
Can I get like one worm that's on the floor or something? Come on.
This teacher walks towards you, Molly, and says, "You were never particularly good at anything, were you, Molly? You didn't excel at any subject."
"I'm okay at computers."
"You're so unremarkable. No wonder no one wants to be your friend."
"Well, you're wrong, because Priscilla is my friend."
Priscilla's gonna yell at the teacher, "Yeah, well, you're stupid and Molly's much cleverer than you are."
"Thanks, Priscilla. Best friends forever."
Let's not go that far.
"Friends! No.
BFFs."
Priscilla does a little wave.
Yeah.
Somehow worse, I guess.
It's like someone saying "I love you" and being like, "Aw."
"Oh, wait."
"Oh, thank you."
"Thank you."
At that moment, the feral Erin Doyle, I assume, slams into
coming
this
the
person
other way.
As well.
Yeah.
I've got another bottle in my hand. I've got my other bottle in my hand, the one that I didn't use to douse the clown. And I'm going to come and try sliding in and try and like whip it across the line and, like, of any encroaching people.
Your fear is that the people you love and care about, you will be unable to protect. And so with that drive, you slide in. And a challenge rating 5 fight roll, please.
Okay, well, I rolled another 1. But again, I get a +1 and a +3 because I'm protecting Molly. So it's a 5. I'm going to switch out this d6.
Yeah,
and so you slide
that might be good.
Underneath this teacher, squirting the full force of this water bottle up into their face, and they look down just in time to get a full jet of water and collapse shuddering backwards into the wall of the cave, screaming gutturally before going silent.
"Every child is special!"
"And that's my babysitter, and she's my friend too."
"Best friends forever!"
"Best friends forever!"
"Best friends forever!"
Priscilla, your parents now stand either side of you, looking down.
I don't know if I'm going to be allowed to do this.
I love it when people start a sentence like that.
What I would like to do, because my fight rolls are shit, I would like to use charm to accidentally sneak some water at them. So I'm going to get, like, sneak the smallest water balloons I can into my hands and just try and, like, put my arms around them in a hug. And then just sort of in the back of the head. So I
need you to make a charm roll to convince the worm that you are switching sides.
Okay.
Challenge rating 6 on a charm roll.
Okay.
Because you, to their eyes, you just had your entire spirit broken, so they might think you would swap sides.
Okay. I'm going to say to them, "Well, I guess it's better than having no parents at all, is it?"
"That's right.
I'll give you a hug."
"You'll be happier as one of us."
"Maybe I will." That's a 12 plus 1, so that's a 13.
That's more than double the challenge, isn't it? So yep. That's super good.
They embrace you and then just feel the foot of your 2 water balloons on the smalls of their back, and they turn to look before letting out an impassioned scream and sort of hitting into each other before collapsing backwards into wheels of cheese and falling to the ground. You are thinning out the herds of people here. There's a few more at the door, but you see that June Peacock now looks worried. She didn't realize when you came here that you knew the sort of weaknesses and ways to dispose of her kind. And so she takes an armful of cheese and makes a break for the exit.
Fuck, I want to protect you guys.
We've got to get her though, Erin. We can't let him go.
You don't have to protect us. We're really good at
this. Yeah, we've been great so far.
Erin kind of looks desperately between June and between the 2 kids that she doesn't want to just leave in a grotto full of cheese worms.
Can I...
There's a sentence I never thought I'd say.
Can I throw my super soaker over to Erin and say,
Go get a hot shot.
Can I catch it? Can I catch it by the...
Pump it.
Yeah, give me a flight roll challenge rating 8, please, Jen.
Me?
Yeah,
roll.
You're throwing the gun.
I am.
It's your accuracy to Aaron's hands.
That's a 5. I get 1 plus 1, which is 6. How many adversity tokens can I spend? You can spend as many as you've got on one roll.
You can spend as many as you've got.
Okay, I'll spend them both. Why not?
Aaron, you are expertly throwing a super soaker.
expertly.
And because of the expert throw and the fact that when you grabbed it, you were able to pump it up, you can make a fight roll challenge rating 4.
God, okay.
To clear the people by the entrance of the grotto.
Okay, new d6.
Come on.
4! 3 plus 1.
Yay!
And you, I assume, add 3 and 1 to
that.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you double the challenge rating.
No, right? It's a 7 because it's 3 plus 1. Ah, that was okay. 2. So a 7,
but still,
not quite double.
It's more than... You hit the 2 people at the door and they fly back, creating an opening. All 3 of you can make a break out of this cave and pursue June Peacock into the park.
Yes, I would like
to... Yes, let's do that.
Scream, the bikes! And...
To the bikes!
And kind of just, you know, like really head down... dig in my heels and just set off, like sprinting start to try and get to my bike.
Okay. Make a brains roll for me, all of you.
Okay.
Challenge rating 6.
Oh. 12.
4.
18 for Molly.
Molly and Erin, you see the path that June is running and you think that in your head you can do exactly what you did yesterday and cut her off at the bridge.
The bridge.
We look at each other perfectly in tandem and say, the bridge!
And I go,
eh?
Yay!
Best friends, is this another best friends thing?
Best friends, bridge!
Get on, Priscilla.
You get to your bikes. Molly and Priscilla head left round the corner of the lake and you, Erin, head straight down the centre of the dell and inevitably, you find June Peacock. She's pegging it as fast as she can. But by the time she reaches the bridge over the lake, you see Molly and Priscilla slide over the exit of the bridge. And she stops dead still in the center, looks back at you, and then looks at the kids and just stands there still.
Kind of drop the bike as I slide in, kind of step out, hands in pockets to... be able to quickly withdraw water balloons and say, what are you doing, June? Did you really feel that alone? That this seemed like a good idea? Did this really seem better than the alternative?
I'm never alone.
June doesn't have to ever be alone. She doesn't need you for that.
You are so insignificant. You are nothing to me. I am everywhere. You think you can stop me?
Yeah. I'm just going to take out 2 water balloons.
Okay. Make a fight roll, challenge rating 12, because oof. June is now duking and running hard.
Oh, shit.
How far above the water are we, can I ask?
You're not super far. The water level's quite low because of the heat wave.
I was just thinking if we tip her off, it wouldn't kill June, it would kill...
It wouldn't,
do you know what I mean?
No.
Just a second thought.
Am I protecting these guys?
Not yet.
Fuck. Well, in that case, 4.
You throw the water balloons, but she is moving fast and she is heading towards Priscilla and Molly and she pushes Priscilla off the bike and grabs hold of Molly by the back of the shirt and pulls her backwards, holding it up in the air.
Molly's kicking and screaming and wriggling as much as possible. She's taking notes off Priscilla.
Like, don't make any moves. You want to protect this one, don't you?
Do what you have to do, Erin. It's fine. Shoot to kill. Shoot to kill.
Take the shot, damn it.
Take the shot, hot shot. I believe in you.
I really wasn't expecting this to have as many kind of weird kind of cop movie references in it as it has done. I'll put my hands, like, up. Empty. Don't do this. I'm not going to call you June because you're not June. Whatever you are, don't do this. And I'm just going to, you know, like, moving closer, but in a kind of wary kind of a way.
Yep. She holds Molly high and she said, you're going to let us go. You're going to let us go and you're going to stop interfering and I will let this child live.
Hey, just give me Molly and I'm approaching like I'm going to take Molly from her. And then if I get close enough at the last minute, I do just want to sling an arm around her neck and try and pull her and me off the bridge into the river.
Make a brawn roll, challenge rating 5.
Can one of us shoot the water gun into the air and go, no!
Now am I protecting these guys?
You are trying to protect, yes.
9.
Molly, make a flight roll challenge rating 10 to not go into the lake as well.
Okay. Well, that's a 4.
Jesus.
It's fine. You're just going to get wet.
Can you swim?
Molly doesn't like water. She doesn't open water.
Molly is about to face her fear now. As all three of you go over the railing of the bridge and fall not a great distance, but still significant enough before splashing into the lake below. You, under the water, Erin, see June Peacock thrashing and punching and just writhing in every way possible. And as she opens her mouth, the water around there turns purple. And then she just floats to the top of the lake again.
Face up or face down?
face up.
Oh, thank God.
Good.
But you see also Molly is not face up and is sinking.
Oh, I'm swimming for her.
Can Priscilla try and get down there as well? Sorry.
Yes, absolutely.
Clambering. Clambering down the side of the embankment or whatever there is there.
Yep, make a flight roll for me, everyone. Erin and Priscilla make flight rolls, challenge rating 6. And Molly make a brawn roll, challenge rating 4, just to see how much air you keep in your lungs.
Brawn or grit? I'm slightly better at grit.
Okay,
grit is actually a better shout.
Okay, thank you. I've got 2 more.
So what am I rolling?
You and Priscilla are rolling flight to see how quickly you can get to Molly.
Okay. It's a 7 plus 1, so an 8.
And what did you say the challenge rating was?
6.
Okay, I rolled a 3, but I'm going to use 3 of my many adversity tokens that I haven't used up until now.
Priscilla, you jump onto the railing of the bridge and dive in elegantly.
I'm a good swimmer.
Family villa with a pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you find yourself close to Molly. Erin, you also are there with Molly, and with Priscilla's help, find it much easier to make the brawn roll to pull her up. What did you roll on grit, Molly?
9.
Perfect. You've got a lot of air, and thankfully people who are here to save you.
She is panicking, though. She was panicking, but she's trying to hold on because she's like, I'm part of a team. I'm a hero.
But also crying a bit.
Erin, make a brawn roll. Challenge rating 4, down from a 6 because Priscilla is also here helping.
Where's my d12? I rolled a 1 on the die. Plus 1.
It's okay. Molly, make a grit roll challenge rating 12.
Molly.
Grit roll, yeah. Sorry, I got all caught up in this
one
idea.
One failed turn of pulling you up from the bottom of the lake, you lose more breath.
Oh
no.
Grit roll challenge rating 12. Jeez, that's already my max. Oh, that's a 4.
You see a stream of bubbles escape from Molly's mouth. Make another brawn roll challenge rating 4 to see if you can pull her up again.
Firstly, I'm going to get a bit weird. Can I spend a diversity token to find something useful in the surroundings? Is there one of those life ring things that I can direct Priscilla to? Oh no, she's in the water as well now, isn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, fuck.
Yeah, but I could go get
Never
it.
Never mind. Well, I will point it out.
Yeah.
So that if I still can't pull her out, then we're in the process of... Oh my God, that rolled all the way off the desk. Oh, okay, way better. 9.
Hey.
9.
I'm not dead.
More than enough strength. You pull Molly up and get her head out of the water and she coughs up a spray of this nasty, gross, gooey lake water, and you're able to drag her to the embankment.
I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm alive.
I'm going to give Molly a big hug.
She's trying to be brave, but she's kind of shaking.
And then as soon as she's kind of like on the bank or like near enough that her feet are on the ground, I'm going to go back for June.
Okay. That is a harder brawn roll, but there's less pressing issue because she's not face down. She's not kicking and screaming, but it's a brawn roll of 8 because again, June Peacock is built like a brick shit house.
That is an 11. Surprisingly brawny.
You pull June to the muddy embankment as well, while Molly and Priscilla share.
Maybe Erin has another summer job as a lifeguard sometimes.
She's occasionally done it.
I say, Molly, don't die.
It's okay, I won't. We can't because we're best friends forever.
Erin kind of like manages to get June kind of onto the bank and then also just kind of flops onto her back, fully exhausted. It's hard dragging people out of water. And she's like, is everyone okay?
Yeah.
Priscilla?
We're alive.
Okay. Were there any more people left in the cave or did we get them all?
Do we have to go kill a load of worm cheese?
You might have gotten them all.
Three.
But it might be worth going back to the cave to see what's going on.
Because also
there.
More worms might go in them as
after,
well.
After like just 3 or 4 kind of like wheezing breaths, Erin's going to get to her hands and knees and then to her feet. She's like soaking wet. She's got like mud on her knees and her palms. She's just a mess. She's like, okay, we need to go and destroy those other worms that were in the cheese.
Okay.
Okay. Can you, Priscilla, maybe you should ride the bike.
Okay.
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 I hold Molly's hand and pull her over to the bike. Oh.
Molly's very happy. She's terrified and sad and cold and scared, but also quite happy.
Warmed by the internal fires of friendship. Mm. So I'm gonna go as fast as I can back towards the cave, but the adrenaline is probably slightly wearing off now, and it's really not as fast as it was when we were chasing.
You find your
June.
Legs so wobbly underneath you.
So wobbly.
As this has been so incredibly intense. And thankfully, when you get to the cave, you just see a bunch of bewildered people.
Alive?
Alive people. Mm-hmm. And as you look to the wheels of cheese, you see what looks like grey veins running through them. No longer bright purple, but instead... All worms seem to have died now that the matriarch is dead.
Erin still like kind of just like smashes down any water balloons that haven't already popped.
Yeah, well, we're soaking.
She
this
looks
cave.
Like she's just pummeling cheese.
I maybe throw an extra water balloon at the back of Priscilla's parents' heads just whilst they're not looking. And I like giggle at Priscilla. They do deserve it, right?
As a water balloon hits Priscilla's mother, she turns and she looks and she's just so confused. And she looks at Priscilla and she's like, Priscilla, darling, what are you doing? What am I doing here? Where are we?
Erin like locks eyes with Priscilla and shakes her head.
Well, if you don't know, why would I tell you?
Not necessarily what I was going for. Erin kind of gonna stagger over and be like, hi, Mrs. Bromington Smythe. There was something wrong with the cheese. And I think the people who ate cheese got a bit sick. Everything's been really weird. But you look better now. How are you feeling?
She turns to Priscilla's father and says, Victor, you need to call the cheesemonger right away. It's unacceptable.
No, I think it was all the cheese.
It's all right, we'll go around and have a word with him.
I've got a gun in my office.
He'll follow up on that one.
He'll never be making that mistake again.
I think.
Why is my dad so sexy?
Why, hello. Oh no! Wait, I turned it. I went wrong.
You went too far.
And then I want to look down at Priscilla, and kind of like
wrap an arm around her shoulders and pull her clothes for a minute. And I think I've always been a bit scared of the Remington Smythes. Mm. I don't see them very often. I usually just, it's just me and the poor au pair, whose name I've forgotten.
Dominique.
That was it. I was thinking Angelique, and I knew that wasn't right.
Close enough.
So I don't see them very often, but I've always been a bit scared of them. They're very intimidating, but I kind of look defiantly into Mrs. Remington Smythe's eyes and I say, your daughter's really brave, you know. She's really amazing. You should be really proud of her.
She looks confused.
I turn to Erin and I said, yeah, but they won't be.
And then the confusion turns to a look of hurt.
Kind of pinch.
And maybe realization.
Pinch Priscilla's cheeks, or one of her cheeks, and say, I think you might be surprised. Sometimes grown-ups forget that they need to say things out loud.
Your mum opens her arms up as if to beckon you for a hug, Priscilla.
I reluctantly go over to her.
Erin kind of gives Mrs. Remington Smythe a bit of a look and is like, no, the worms are dead. And gives her a little push.
Yes, because this hug is also, is hesitant on both sides. There's so much confusion here, but you can hopefully build a better relationship going forward, or maybe not. Who can say? But we can cut now to a few days from now. You go back the next day once all these confused people have gone home. I assume you just dig through the cheese diligently. Yeah.
Even Erin might not even bring the kids with her, but she would definitely do it. But she'd also have looked for June when she was going home, if she was still by the lake or no.
June skulked off.
Okay.
But you don't know whether, much like Priscilla's parents, June might not remember why she's in the park. She might remember why she was last in the park, and that would have given her reason to leave. And you'll find out when you listen to the edit. So you know, it might not be a suspicious reason for why June has disappeared, but you diligently dig through all the cheese and find nothing but desecrated, shriveled worm husks.
Gross.
Yeah. It's not pretty, but it is.
And the cave
gross.
Smells terrible, presumably.
Oh, just the
cheesiest,
worst. You might want to
rotting worm bodies and cheese. Yeah,
you
oh,
might
that's
want to alert
a bad smell.
The park manager that this grotto, this closed off grotto, has been desecrated with cheese.
Yeah, someone's been cheese smuggling again.
Erin,
this is like the great cheese smuggle of 79. Yeah.
The next day,
when I lost
when
my
you're
leg.
At work, Ben
on
Shoreditch
hand.
On my other hand
comes in.
Guys, shut up! My crush is here.
And he nervously stands at the cheese counter, and he's like, "I know. Last time I asked you, you said you were busy, but and I know it's probably not cool to keep asking, but I'll just try one more time, and then if you say no, I'll take no for an answer. But I wondered if you might want to go bowling tonight, or maybe to see a film.
That would be kind of cool. If you want to, of course you want to. You ask me.
Yeah, no, I want to. Yeah, of course I want to.
Yeah.
Are we there?
We're
just
hanging
out.
I'm at work.
I couldn't remember. Sorry, I couldn't remember what you said it was.
I'm at the cheese counter. I'm in like a net hat. And an apron.
Sexy.
Trying to fob off a woman who's trying to buy some... Well, probably no one wants to buy cheese. They've heard what happened.
Slow action at the cheese
The bad
counter.
Cheese story has gotten around.
Yeah, they've all heard about the weird cheese incident at the grotto. But Ben's like, yeah, great, okay, I'll see you later on then. And then he's off like a shot. He's so nervous.
Oh.
But you've got a date later, and that's cute.
Oh, good for Erin.
Molly and Priscilla, you are playing in the park together.
Yay.
When Adam Pittman comes over. He's like, I thought you said you didn't hang out with Robot.
Yeah, well, maybe I don't hang out with you anymore, Milky.
She hangs out with me when she wants to, and that's fine. That's none of your business. Go find your own friends.
Yeah.
Because I've got my own friend right here, and she's also my best friend forever. BFF.
Yeah, I found a friend who didn't smell of milk, so sorry, not sorry.
Limited character development.
Look, Adam Pittman deserves it.
Doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah, Adam Pittman's a bit of a dick.
He's not.
Look, he's just got a complexion about how milky he smells. Okay, he goes, bullies bully for a reason.
Character development, Yeah, character development in a good way. Molly is no, like, has a friend, and Priscilla is no longer ashamed to be seen in public with her.
Look, they're only eight. That's already a big...
They're only eight, and that's enough.
That's enough.
Yeah.
Bex, you go to meet Ben at his house later on. You ring the doorbell, he comes down, and he's dressed in like the finest blue Ben Sherman shirt. Oh, it's like glossy.
Amazing.
He's wearing way too much like cologne. It's Lynx. It's not even cologne. Yeah. It's just Lynx.
I've got flavored lip gloss on just in case.
Ooh. And he's like, oh, you ready? You ready to go see Men in Black?
Yeah.
Amazing. Bad choice on this
occasion.
Yeah,
I was going to say. Bad choice.
Yeah. Worms, aliens. Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Could you make a brains roll challenge rating 4 as you leave his house?
I can certainly try. That's a 4, exactly.
4, exactly. As you start to leave, you turn and see into his garage. There is a car with a painter sheet thrown over the top, but it's not fully covered, and the vehicle is unmistakably a blue Renault Clio.
He straight up killed a man for us. For me? How romantic.
Look, you're 16, that's deeply romantic.
Seems like a red flag to me.
Deeply romantic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Any flaws you
He's
can
been following
fix,
you
Bex.
Around, running over people on, and bothering Aaron. You. That's a red flag, my friend.
No.
Yeah. I'm just going to kind of, as we walk over, be like, we're not driving.
I'm not old enough to drive yet. I wouldn't drive. I can't. I don't have a car. It wouldn't be legal for me to drive.
Sure.
And so I wouldn't be doing that.
Sure wouldn't be legal.
How to ask someone if they've ever run someone over for you.
A step-by-step guide by Erin.
Have you ever killed local snooker champion Mark?
Local
snooker champion Marcus Campbell?
To save me from an alien invasion.
It's as simple as that.
I guess.
I think that you guys are reading a subtext to this that might not be there.
Wait, what?
You currently think he did this to save you.
Yeah.
And it's not just a horrible coincidence.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh,
he wasn't out joyriding, was he?
He's out joyriding. He just ran someone over. No. Fucking hell.
Bad boy.
Ben, you asshole. Bad boy. What the fuck?
You know what? Aaron's just going to leave that for now. That's maybe third day kind of a question. No, she's going to... She's going to go a few more steps and then stop and be like, I've kind of got this thing about trust recently.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, knowing who people really are.
Yeah.
Is that your car?
It will be once I turn 17. He's starting to shake a little bit.
Do you ever drive it?
He is fully shaking and he's struggling to get the words that wouldn't be legal out.
Because did you know someone in a car like that once saved my life?
He looks surprised to learn that. He stops and he looks just confused.
Just saying. Sometimes terrible accidents might have unexpected windfalls. Erin's like beginning to question what she's saying, and she's like,
sounds like a fortune cookie.
It does. Look, Erin, he's dreamy, okay? He's wearing so much Lynx.
He's dreamy, you don't care. Look at them curtains.
Sarah's made this very difficult for me.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, he killed a man.
Yeah, she's staring past these curtains trying to work out if it does, because now she knows that you could save the worm people without...
Well, shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Running them over.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
We didn't know. It's fine.
And he didn't know it was a worm person.
Yeah, exactly.
You just did an innocent murder.
I think
manslaughter at best.
And then didn't stop.
Reckless driving.
He was illegally driving.
I think maybe that's the kind of thing, though, that someone should admit to
before they can be tried as an adult.
He starts crying. He just starts fully crying in the driveway.
God. Oh, jeez.
Ben, listen, I can't make that decision for you, but I think I actually have somewhere to be. I think I've got to go and talk to someone. I'm not going to say anything, but I think you should, for what it's worth.
He nods.
Do you know where Jim Peacock lives?
He shakes his head.
Okay, I'll check in the yellow pages.
And you leave Ben crying in his driveway, hoping he'll do the right thing.
What a date.
I want to go and try and find where Jim Peacock lives.
Okay, you do. You know. Yeah, you know.
Oh, I know. Great.
Yeah, you can figure it. Like, you've got a vague idea and then you can pin it down from there, asking people at the war memorial.
Yeah, I want to go and find June.
And you find, yeah, you find June's house, ring the doorbell.
Yeah.
Or knock the door.
No, I was going to knock on the door, but you said ring. I changed it last minute.
You do both. She comes down and stands at the door, confused. Like, what are you doing here, Doyle?
I thought that you might want someone to talk to.
Why would I want that?
Because I've realised that, you know, I don't usually see you with other people, and that's a shame. I thought maybe we could be friends.
Do you like Crash Bandicoot?
I love Crash Bandicoot.
A stupid question, June.
I'm having trouble with one of the levels. Do you want to come in and help me?
Yeah, I do.
So June invites you inside, and you presumably beat that particular level climbing the fortress. And that's
not that
where
Sarah's
we're going to leave
that level.
Our game of kids on bikes. Woo! Thank you so much for playing.
We all got a friend.
We all got
a friend.
Apart from Ben, who's killed a man and is going to prison.
He's going to have trauma for the rest of his
but
life.
But he won't be tried as an adult.
No.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Great. I'm about to do something.
Mm-hmm. Oh God.
Roll with
Are
it.
You?
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
That was the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And now we've got a post-credit scene. Erin.
Yes.
It's a few weeks after the fight in the park, and you're riding your bike through town early on your way to work. The heat wave has finally given way to rainstorms, which beat down on the pavement. Normally, this would be an annoyance for you to get so soaked through, but part of you thinks, good, if there were somehow any worms left over, this would get rid of them. You haven't heard from Ben since you convinced him to turn himself in, but you're still feeling very proud of yourself, as you should. You kept the people you care about safe, and that's what matters most to you. You've often thought about your future and the reality of someday leaving Barnesfield and starting your life somewhere new, somewhere exciting. And I'm not sure if these worm-based events have made that goal even clearer or given you a new fondness for this town and the people within.
I mean, there's a lot to leave behind here. But maybe now, when she thinks about going somewhere else, it's knowing that she'll come back.
Well, as you think about these things, you hear a sound rustling in the tree line to the side of you. Your head whips around to see a deer emerging from the bushes, and it stands majestically at the side of the road. It's pleasant to see wildlife this close up and distracting enough for you not to notice that a rift has opened up in the street ahead of you. It is similar in colour and shape to the one June Peacock saw in the grotto, but this one is big enough for a teenager and her bike to fall into. You apply pressure to the brakes but find little traction on these rain-slick streets and plummet straight through. After a few moments of stillness, the rift shudders and closes up again, returning the quiet of this early morning scene as the deer prances back into the trees. Erin Doyle is gone from this world. Thank you for listening.
What the fuck?
What?
What? How brutal, I tell you.
You've been listening to Roll Plus Heart. This was the last episode in our game of Kids on Bikes, a game by Doug Lewandowski and Jonathan Gilmore. Your GM was Sarah Keep, and this was all her original story. Your players were Bex Watson as Erin Doyle, Helen Gaffney as Priscilla Remington-Smythe, and me, Jen Blundell, as Molly Wrigley. Our music was composed by David Shaw. Music mixing and mastering was by Mark Anderson. You can find all of our links and contacts at rollplusheart.com, including to our Twitter and our Facebook group and our Redbubble store, where you can buy tea towels with our logo on. Don't you think you need that? Thank you to everyone who has reached out to us to tell us how much you've enjoyed this little series. We really enjoyed making this story of kids on bikes. It was a little spookier and maybe a little sadder than our usual stuff, but we think it was also pretty fun too, and we liked where it went. Don't worry though, things are going to get sillier again for a little while on the show. We're going to be doing a couple of one-shots split over two episodes, the first one being Conspiracist, which Bex will be GMing. Until then, if you want to hear any more from us, you can watch Bex stream art and games on Twitch at Starlingirl. You can listen to me and Sarah in our other TTRPG podcast, Quest Fantastic, where we're playing a game of D&D with some of our very good friends. And you can listen to Helen in your hearts. She's there. It's her voice you're hearing. Listen to it. If you have enjoyed this story of kids on bikes, leave us a review, get in touch with us on social media, leave us a star rating, and tell a friend. We really would appreciate it. So, as I said, the next game that we will be playing will be Conspiracist, which we have already recorded, and I can assure you is very, very silly. That episode will be coming out on Wednesday, the 6th of July. Until then, take it easy, keep it sleazy.
So, the next game I was thinking of running was Kids on Brooms. And my favourite thing that I've consumed these last 2 years is Amphibia and Owl House, which are both about kids out of water that get transported to magical realms. So I was thinking that Erin Doyle might be the fish out of water in a magical realm.
I'm down with that.
That sounds fun. That's exciting.
I thought you were just straight up killing me off.
No, that'd be too brutal.
Oh, hello. Just me again. Popping in one more time to say, I'm not quite done. Sometimes we as a group have silly ideas and we make silly jokes. And then I go away and I think, now that would be quite funny to make something specially for the edit that the rest of them don't know about. So what you're about to hear, I both apologise for and you're welcome. And I'd like to give a special thank you to my wonderful sister Kathleen Blundell and my brother Jacob Blundell for making this possible with their superior musical talent.
No matter what type you eat, cheese is always a special treat. Camembert, Gouda, or cheddar, or brie, cheese is the treat for you and me. Cheese that brings people together, brings people together.
Now only $2.99 a pound. Safeway.
Get yours now while stocks last. Eat responsibly.